You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Shameless After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Shameless After Show.
Well, all right. That is a lot going on over there. Yes, definitely worth the claps and the words of, just getting excited about this show. Shameless. Everyone watches. Everyone talks about it. But first, let's just say the new intro. Did you guys like that?
I did like the new intro.
Richard Wentworth. Do I say it correctly?
You did.
Yeah. So a couple new things, of course, letting everyone know that the great Maria Menounos is behind this project. Akamai Technologies. And, of course, why wing it when you could bing it? You know, that is definitely the way to go find what you need. And, you know, we find research on this great show, Shameless. And this is... season two, getting good right now. Mm-hmm. Episode seven, are we right? We're on episode seven.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. Episode only like seven. Five or so left, that means.
It goes by too quick. So many things to talk about. Of course, you are watching AfterBuzzTV.com. Thank you to the iTunes people and, of course, everyone who watches us on YouTube and comments and tweets and Facebooks with us. Right. Anyways, my name is Ronnie Jr. Nice to meet you. Next to me is...
Dorinda Barker.
Such a lovely soul she is. Across the table, we have Mr... And Miss
Spicy Mari. Forgot who I was.
She was born.
Tweeting, telling people to tune in.
Her birth name was Spicy Mari. That's exactly what it was. Right. And of course, I've got such an appreciation for the booth now because I've been in the booth a little bit. So we got to say thank you to Phil, who makes sure we look good, sound good, the whole deal. Anyways, what'd you guys...
By the way, real quick, we will be making an app. Everyone's always wondering, when are you going to get a nap? We're going to get a nap.
Yes.
So it's
nice. Excelente.
Well, I know from working in the office there with Phil, we move pretty quick here at AfterBuzz, so there's a lot of things coming up, a lot of announcements or whatnot. So keep on checking us out, and of course, we're going to do Oscar coverage as well. So for some of the movies, we're going to step away from TV for just a second and cover the movies that are nominated. You're doing one of the movies.
I am, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Okay. So have you been doing your homework, your research?
I have. Thank you.
Okay. What are we doing as far as research and homework about this show, this episode of Shameless? What did you guys think? Tom, I feel like when we watch a show with you, you laugh and yell louder than any single person.
Yeah, I'm very vocal.
But then sometimes you're quiet and shy too, but at the same time, when you watch that show, you're like, you know?
Yeah, you get to see what I'm really like when I watch a television show that I really like anyway. Like, there's some really great moments.
Yeah.
I mean, that they just have these one-liners sometimes that just really get me.
Well, you guys were season one After Buzzers watching Shameless, and you guys would tell me, Kevin. And I was like, oh, okay, he's a cool character, but I didn't need much from Kevin. Kevin actually was really interesting in this episode, I thought.
Yeah, there's a lot of moments in the last season where he was just very sincere and honest, and he actually is one of the better characters, as I put that in quotes, in Shameless, I think. And you definitely get to see a lot of that this time around. And it was so heartwarming to see that, you know, V really wants to have a baby. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it was a really good moment right there. Because the two of them...
That's a baby sound effect.
Because the two of them really...
No,
kinda,
I'm just crying right now. That's all.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, Ronnie, just wipe the tears.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Sorry.
You know, the two of them are just so really great, and there's a lot of fun, and they love each other very much, and it's just a really nice dynamic that the show has. So,
well, and it was such a build-up because obviously, maybe she wanted a baby anyway, but, you know, they missed Ethel, the real Ethel, and the bunny Ethel, you know? So it kind of, I thought it was rolled out really nice on this episode, you know, for the baby, for the sake of her wanting to have a child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I agree.
I liked it that they got a rabbit and they called it Ethel number two.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really fun. I enjoyed that moment.
I feel like we've always known her personality, but me, I didn't really ever know Kevin, but I was learning in this episode what he does with Stan, you know, as much as he cares for him. And your face is saying something else.
Well, I'm agreeing.
Yeah, no, I'm giving you credit because you guys knew Kevin first, and I was like, eh, I guess he's cool, but he really is a sincere guy, like you said, you know?
Yeah.
Today was definitely an endearing episode. We got to see his affection and true. I mean, I believe his love for Ethel. And then you saw what him and V did was they go and try to replace Ethel with an animal, which a lot of couples do when they're not ready for the step of having a child. They'll get a pet in the meantime so they have something to nurture and practice with. But I thought it was definitely a sincere and endearing episode for Kevin, this one.
Yeah, I mean, again, and it's not just the Ethel thing. It's also with Stan. Oh, do we think Stan passed away possibly in today's episode?
I did think that.
I mean, it didn't happen. One of you here, I don't know which one of you, was it you, Tom?
Yeah,
that was
me.
Like, you made the, oh, he's dead, you know?
Yeah, I was like, oh, he's dead.
Yeah. So he didn't die. What is the Stan Kevin relationship? What is just Stan is mean grouchy guy or what? What he just,
you know, he wasn't in the first season. Well, Phil, right? He wasn't in the first season.
No,
the
not
old
at all.
Man.
No, he wasn't.
No, he
in
was
it
not.
All.
And you know, neither was really. I mean, Kevin, we always got to see him, but he wasn't like a major
yeah.
part.
No, not major.
That's
like
why
the
they brought
anymore.
Him in the old guy Stan to kind of broaden that.
Yeah, that kind of relationship. Yeah.
No, you had called it out. You're like, I think it would be good for the show if Kevin owns the, what's it called, the alibi room?
Oh, yeah. Did I say that? I don't remember.
Yeah,
saying,
but... no, I watch all of our AfterBuzzes in detail. And you think I take notes for the show.
Oh, my gosh.
No, because it builds. Anyways, but somebody had made mention of it. Anyways, but no, this was the episode that I was really like, wow, Kevin is so cool, and I want to see more and more with them. For the show's sake, I wonder, like, where it would go. You know, is it going to be successful? Or maybe V can't have kids. Like, there's just a lot you can do.
Yeah, probably.
Right? I mean...
Well, I mean, it's also, too, if they... If they, like, they talk about, you know, calling Stan's daughter and all that stuff. Kevin's also afraid of the fact if they call Stan's daughter and she comes, she's going to sell the bar. And then what is he going to do?
Right.
That's also that has something to do with
it. But I thought
he
was trying to buy it, though.
And that's, but yeah, he's trying to buy it. But if they call the daughter, she's going to be like, I'm
no,
done.
No, she's going to say
oh,
no,
that's
absolutely
true.
Not.
Exactly. So he's thinking he does care about Stan, but I also think a lot of it has to do with the fact that he does want to buy the bar. And he loves the bar, too. Mm-hmm. And if call the daughter, he's in trouble.
See, I wasn't thinking about the selling aspect. I was thinking of it more from nobody wants to put the person who they love that's elderly in a home. So I'm thinking that it's more of the loyalty that he has.
Maybe a mix
Stan.
Of both. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's honestly, it's a mix of both. I don't think that it leans one way or the other way. I think it's a little bit of both.
There's a lot going on with Karen in this episode. She, with Jody, but... is kind of pushing him out of her life for some weird reason. Is she overwhelmed? Finally, we forget she's a young girl. She really is a young girl, but she's facing adult-like actions to deal with. And so she has, I guess she uses that idea from Lip to have the abortion. Is that what she wants to do?
No, I think she wants to. Well, in the little preview that we had, that she wants to put up for adoption or whatever. I don't think she wants. Well, I don't think she can abort the child
at this point.
It's way too far along. But I think that I think it's all kind of hitting her at once. Mm-hmm. And I also think she has commitment issues. I wouldn't be surprised if she, you know, gets rid of Jody, is with Lip, and then all of a sudden, like, and when it gets too intimate, she pushes him away too.
Pushes him away.
Or even goes back to
daddy issues. She's got
some serious issues going on. And I love Phil. I really was thinking about you when she was talking about what to do with the $75,000 she'll get for her father, and she says she might get a boob job. Phil.
Phil likes her just the way she is.
That's right.
Oh, okay, got it. Yeah.
I wrote that, like, two things I wrote down. I wrote that and something else I'll talk about later, but that was one of them.
So we couldn't really pinpoint what it was that Jody was doing that irritated. I mean, you know, it was little things that irritated her.
Right.
But what made her, what pushed her over the edge where she just decided she doesn't want to be with him anymore? Because that's kind of a big decision to make.
I think it's he's too loving. I think for her, he's too loving.
She needs a little bit of an asshole.
She needs a little bit of an asshole.
That always comes up. Like, so women need to be around bad guys?
I'm going to jump in.
Wait.
Only because, and Ronnie, you actually know the argument. On Justified, we did, sociopath versus psychopath.
Yes.
And a sociopath is one who doesn't plan much. They're spontaneous violence and things like that. And I think Karen, in many ways, she lacks intelligence. And in conclusion, she's a sociopath.
Oh. So that sums up why she is.
Yeah, because she's not a psycho, but she's definitely a sociopath.
Yeah, like she
doesn't love herself by any means. And, like, Jody loves her. And, like, you know how every morning, you know... they're having the morning sex.
Yes.
And they put on Kiss from a Rose by Seal. God. By the way, which I think is hysterical.
Which is hilarious. If someone put that on when they were having sex with me, I'd be like, this is, I can't, I'm laughing. I'm laughing in your face.
You can't function.
And then what he says, I wrote it down, because she's like, why do you do that? And she goes, it's like giving you all my joy and pain all at once.
Oh my God. Having intercourse with her, and then he cries afterwards.
Exactly, yes, exactly.
Oh my God!
Didn't he cry on the last episode too?
He cries every time they're intimate.
Yeah,
not a respectable, manly, yeah, quality in the sense of you want your man to cry on your shoulder when he's actually going through something. Then you feel closer with each other, but not after you're intimate. Like that's when you're supposed to be like, "I am man, hear me roar." You're supposed to be getting up and making him breakfast. It's not supposed to be a little hair around.
Is that one of the main reasons she's being drawn away from him?
I don't think she respects him, and I think every woman needs to respect their man in order for there to be longevity involved.
Right.
Yes. I agree with that 100%.
And it's very sweet that he loves her, and I think that I think there has to be a balance. You have to have love in the relationship, but he still needs to be leading the relationship and kind of be the boss of the relationship.
Oh, he's not leading nothing.
And he's not.
No.
He's definitely not.
So that's why
he's not the man
of
the house.
Yeah, I think he's too soft for her in that, like, he's, like, very... He's very touchy. He's very, like, you know...
He's playing Air Supply.
Yes. Oh, outside the window, yeah.
Dude. Which, so by the way, funny. Love that song, but...
What about that scene? She's giving attention to Lip at the same time.
Exactly.
Like,
and Lip is watching as I can't do this.
I don't think anyone could.
I know.
Okay.
You have to have somewhat of a conscience.
How bizarre, I think the only character that could do that in this show would be Frank. He would be the only one who could be in a situation where the girl that he was with, ex, is singing and he's still receiving some type of attention. How do you do that? That was definitely too much.
I mean, I'm not surprised that they were able to do that because they have this like awkward, weird relationship anyways. It's kind of like, it makes sense because they both are dysfunctionally in love with each other. So it makes sense for them to be able to do that. But I feel like he is more normal to her than what Jody is. And so I think that's why she's starting to remove herself. But she's also irritated because any man who brings his friends from tattoo school into the house that starts telling you what to do with your child is going to annoy the hell out of you.
And have the baby. Just have the baby. Don't
have
go
the
to the hospital.
Have the baby in the bathtub.
Yeah. And
so
I
that
also
you can save money.
It became a real moment for her.
Yes.
Like, wow.
Yes. This is her reality.
Yeah. I really don't like this person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that girl who was talking about the birth and the 9-pound
being
baby.
Sliced.
Mm-hmm. The episiotomy.
I just can't. I have some problems.
She's like, wow, you're pregnant?
I love that part because you're pregnant.
Right. Yeah. Why do you think I'm eating so much?
Oh my God. It's like, what's that show? I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant. Do you know that show?
Yeah.
I've heard of that show.
And it's a bunch of overweight girls who are just like, I didn't know. And we're like,
I knew, on
a treadmill. I said it.
It's weird, though. I knew a girl that actually was just like that. We didn't know she was pregnant, and then all of a sudden she cranked out a baby.
Oh,
in fact, the week
before... Was she an overweight girl?
I mean, not huge, just a little extra hamburger eating.
Oh, then that's interesting.
Yeah.
So it can
be... So it's reality.
It's reality. Well, because my friend was pregnant for a while, and no one had any idea. So.
Anyway.
But in this particular situation, I feel like... Like what you said, like she woke up, she realized this was her reality, and these are people that are going to be a part of her life forever now
if she
stays with Jody.
She'd rather go with Lip and I already know this crazy.
I'm leaving dysfunction, and here I come. Yeah.
And this just, crazy is better to me than that crazy.
Right.
Proves Phil's point. She don't think much through. She thought she was going to escape that and go to Jody. He's just worse.
He's got his own issues.
And at least Lip, they have that connection, or she always strives to have that connection with him. Lip and Ian, it really became, we've seen a couple episodes where they were building this tension, it really became just fight it out. I mean, and that was from the grandma. The grandmother. I like the grandmother a little bit.
I do
bit
like
in this
Grammy, even though she's crazy.
In this episode,
like
a little.
Said, there was some real like compassion and some, what was the word that you gave it? I don't even remember.
Empathy, compassion.
Okay, yeah, something like that. We got a lot of like sensitive moments in this episode. There were a lot of like, you know.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of what word I gave
things.
You.
Things. Well, when you're describing like Kevin and stuff like that. Anyway,
oh, okay.
But that's what I feel like was happening too.
Yeah. Well, she kind of forced them to go ahead and fight it out, and they did, and it was like simple. That was the end of it. There wasn't much to it. So that story arc is pretty much done now. I mean, they're cool, and they're going to go have a beer, and they're going to kind of move on.
Now, see that? That's the kind of winning attitude that's going to take this enterprise straight to the top.
So just punch somebody?
Yes.
But they need that moment, though. They needed
that.
Yeah,
they had to do it. And I loved when after it was over, when Ian said, I don't like being in your shadow. I don't want to be in your shadow anymore. Well, and it was such a touching moment because you get it.
I was going to say this. I mean, the girls can't probably relate, but hopefully the guys can. And, you know, whereas girls, they hold a lot of emotions in. Guys, you know what? We just knock each other's teeth out or whatever, and then we're like, all right, that's cool. We're cool.
Yeah, I get into bar fights all the time like that just to really get it out.
No, I'm one of five girls. We've had our fist fights.
I mean, me and my sister haven't ever gone to blows, but I'm the oldest, and then it goes her, and she does. She gets my clothes that I can't fit anymore, and she. But
that's the same thing as just always having a reason to kind of complain. Like you could be the like I'm the oldest. I actually used to complain a lot. I'm the oldest in my family, and I would be like, oh, it's actually more difficult because you got
to
do
it.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm now 100% like a glass half full person. So you don't really use the. I thought it was kind of lame in a way that Ian did have to use that. Like, oh, I'm in your shadow. Oh, well, you're just, it doesn't matter. Like, everyone has their own set of circumstances.
But in a second child defense, because I understand where my sister's coming from now.
You're the first and the second child?
No, I'm saying in defense of my sister.
Spicy.
In defense of my sister, because you're a firstborn.
Yes.
So you understand. You have to, you don't know what it feels like to be second because you've always been first.
Well, and they also don't know what it's like to, as the oldest, I feel like almost every oldest child I've ran into is very nurturing towards the second and the third. Whatever, and that's all Lip was sort of trying to do, and he really wasn't even trying to do that much.
Well, yeah, but that still doesn't make the difference from how Ian feels.
Thank you, and that was my point that I was trying to say.
You know, because also being the oldest, you know, there's always going to be that because they look to you
exactly.
Even if you mess up, they look to you, and they're still going to be like, "Oh, you messed up." Or if you're getting all these accolades, they're not getting them.
There's always a comparison. Like,
you're always going
to plus that age, what are they? They're both in high school right now. Like, that would be the only age. Do you have a brother? I don't know if you do.
I'm one of six kids.
Oh, wow.
That would be, I would feel like that would be the only age that me and my brother ever.
Yikes.
Really? Mm-hmm. Me and my brother, who are, how many different, how different in age are they? 2 years? 3 years?
Like, my brother's like 11 years from me, but then my sister's 8 years from me. So there's a big gap.
No, I'm talking about
Lip and me.
Me and Richard are 3 years apart, and I'm assuming
that's a good number,
and that's pretty close to them.
I think them.
Richard and I, I think
he's in 10th grade, and Lip is in 12th.
I was a senior. I was a senior. Richard was a 9th grader, and Richard got to do stuff I didn't get to. He was like my little buddy, you know, and I always took care of him, but I never thought he felt. Ever that, oh, poor me. He like enjoyed it because he got to go hang out and
with the older kids.
Yeah, he got to hang out with the older kids. So I thought it was just an interesting take on it for just Ian to look that way. But you do
know because you still don't understand what he has an issue with Lip for.
Not really,
like,
because
you still are like, what did he do wrong?
But I like Ian's character a lot on so many other levels, but just this particular like this complaining thing that I can't get behind. What noise is that?
Crickets?
Is it crickets?
That's the crickets of what's going through your mind because you guys can't figure them out.
Okay. Yes. Okay. I thought you wanted me and Ronnie to duke it out. We were going to
start. Oh, that'd be great.
The fight solves everything.
I would do the bell.
Burbank Boulevard. You guys are going to totally going to duke it out. Well, I'm a second child. And I don't – my older sister was 3 years older than me, but the – all of the us kids were so different that we all kind of like had our own thing, and no one ever compared us to the next one, which is very abnormal because usually there is a lot of comparison happening. Mm-hmm. But I feel like in this instance, you know, Lip is very intelligent, and Ian has different smarts, and so I think that sometimes, you know, Ian is jealous of his brother at times, of his assuredness and his, you know, his like quick thinking and stuff like that. I believe that's probably what he wished he had,
right? Okay.
And he really looks up to him.
That's fair, yeah.
And the secret that Ian's keeping, and he's leading a secret life where Lip, everything is out there.
Yeah.
Ooh. So don't you think that there's something about that too?
Yes.
Because Ian has not come out yet to anybody except for Lip and a couple people.
I think Fiona knows.
Fiona knows. There's
I thought you guys said the whole family knows.
But Frank doesn't
know.
Well,
except for Frank.
And even though as much as Frank is who Frank is, Frank is still his father, and he still hasn't told his father, and he still hasn't, there's a lot of other people he hasn't told.
Right.
So you're saying it's like a jealousy thing? Like Lip can...
Well, in a weird jealousy way. In a weird way. But I think
So maybe we'll still see more of that in the next episode?
Yeah, there might be a little bit more of that. Or I think that now that they're talking, they'll be able to kind of like work it out a little bit. I don't think it's going to really have like a driving force. Mm-mm. Because it was unfortunate that they were always like so chummy with each other. They were like, you know,
Fiona said, I need you to.
Yeah, because they were the glue. They really were, because they're good kids, you know. It's just they do some crazy things, but they were helping her out so much.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, they keep it all together for her when she's trying to keep it together and about to fall apart.
They're her rock.
When she falls apart, they pick up the slack.
Yeah.
We didn't see all the kids in this episode. Deb was in it a little bit.
Yeah, not so much Deb.
But, and I like her character a lot. But we saw Carl a little bit bonding with the grandma in the weirdest way. Anyone want to just take that?
Trying to work things out, make everybody love her once again.
Oh,
I thought it was very endearing when she was like, "Not too smart, huh? I'm going to teach you a skill."
I literally was about to cry.
And it happened to be meth.
Yeah, it happened to be meth.
Their child to make meth.
Yes. I mean, that was really funny. But the moment before I found out that it was meth, I was really, like, feeling horrible for Carl. Aww. Because his face, like, the look on his face when she's like, "Do you know, you're not very good at school." And he had this, like, shameful look on his face. Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Oh, I just want to squeeze."
I was like, he's good at blowing up and killing people.
Yeah.
He's
good. He's good at, like, Carl's good at being bad.
Carl's going to be a serial killer.
Is that cowboy music?
No, it's the Breaking Bad thing. Because now they're making meth.
They are making meth.
Carl, I love that blew up the house.
I mean, Carl's how young? And that's the conversation he's having with his grandma.
Like, oh my God.
But she has him over there scheming at the grocery store in order to get Sudafed?
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't even know that was an ingredient.
Well,
in
you
meth.
Know, here in West Hollywood or in Los Angeles, Sudafed is sold behind the counter because meth making is so horrible.
I'll go even a step further.
Go for
it's actually sold everywhere like that, Tom.
Okay, thank you.
But
because on Long Island, when I was at home on Long Island, it was like there on the counter.
To California for
it was just available.
But it used to be there's like the fake Sudafed and there's the real Sudafed.
Oh,
and
okay.
The real Sudafed you have to buy from someone. And I was just yesterday cough medicine now too. They were like, "Can I see your ID?" I was like, "Wait, I'm not buying any alcohol. What is this for?" Mm. And they're like, "The cough medicine." And I'm like, "Why?"
Wow.
There
because you
go.
Could be making meth. I was like, "All right, good to know."
You go.
What is the ingredients
that cough medicine also has
required?
Alcohol in it, too.
Does anyone know the ingredients required?
I don't remember.
Like,
I don't know what it is.
No.
That they
I'm
going to
save
like
you guys.
Yeah.
I don't want to put you on the no-fly list, so let's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We don't want
to. No, we do not condone.
No,
do not condone.
Listen, you don't need to do that much research into everything.
I'm going to go back and watch the episode so I can see to make it.
Because if you did, you'd end up being as crazy as the rest of these characters. You don't have to do what they do. It's just a TV show. It's scripted.
I'm going
to
bing it.
Bing.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. Bing. Oh, Bing. We do not support
that.
Yes. Thank you.
Just play.
Yes.
Did we have any other highlights with Grandma? Because, again, she was a little more interesting in this episode. I actually thought maybe this would be the end of her, though. I don't know why I kept thinking this would be the end.
We're not done with her. She's going to torture Frank as long as possible.
And do you guys want that? You crave that?
Yes.
I'm okay with her going at some point.
I wrote a list of everything that she did in order to torture him on today's episode. And it started with, of course, her bathing him. And then he has to put Depends on her.
Yes.
Then he has to rub her feet. Then he has to powder under her tits.
Oh, that was the funny one, yeah. Because it was chafing. Yeah,
yes.
Chafing, yeah.
And then Kevin tries to sell her Frank tries to sell her to Kevin and play Match.com with her and Stan.
Yes.
Oh, Frank God, is a matchmaker.
It's so funny.
Could you imagine those Stan and the what's her name?
Grammy?
Grammy.
I can see that.
God.
You know, two old people.
And how many times has Stan got to be naked in the series?
It's ridiculous.
I wonder if he had to audition in that outfit
has
in
been
order
shown...
to get casted for that part.
<What's up, Brenda? laughs>
What about when he walks into the bar to go to the baseball game? And then the patrons are like, "I heard about this, but I've never seen it." Like,
yes. I guess like he's packing.
Oh, referring to Stan's big wang.
Right.
That was so disturbing.
You're right. He had to audition with
the Thunder Down End.
All this
prosthetics.
But, you know.
Interesting.
We need to see you naked for this role, Stan. He was like, okay.
He's just been naked.
I mean, he's been naked in so many episodes.
Yeah, he has.
It's very unexpected because, you know, you never see, you know, it's just.
But it's funny. Like, it's funny. If it was, you know, like a little girl, we would be grossed out. But because it's like an old, wrinkly man,
it's
okay.
It's very funny.
Yeah, and they do crazy things.
Yeah. I also enjoy what after they came back from Indy
Ronnie
and Bingo,
like
they went all add to the list.
No,
they went to Bingo.
Oh, Bingo!
Yeah, because he made her go to Indy and Bingo, and then they came back to the bar and she bought everyone around and she said, "Except for you, insert old lady's name, you miserable excuse for a vagina."
Yes, that was the spicy joke of the night. I was dying when she said that. She called that lady out.
I cannot believe she said that.
She has a mouth on her.
I love her.
But you see, Frank's not saying as much mean stuff now that they've incorporated her role into the show, because she's like cleaning the floor with all of them.
Well, what about what the guy says to Frank when they walk into the bar? So, Frank, how much did you win?
Yeah, and he's like, nothing. He says, F you, buddy. F you.
But, like, you can tell Frank's really affected.
Is he, like, reserved, or he don't know how to act? He doesn't want to act the same way.
Well, I have the same issue with my mother. Her personality's so big, it triumphs the entire room when she steps in.
Yeah.
So I think it's the same thing with his mother.
Yes.
So when Grammy's talking, and we see Ian walk in to use the restroom, and she starts talking mess about Ian, when she starts talking mess about Lip going to the restroom, and Frank tries to like get kudo points with mom, and she's like
a live bathroom break right now,
talking mess to him, and not you know, because he's trying to win her over. Mm-hmm. He wants to get in there. He wants approval from her, and she's not giving it to him.
No, and I'm so glad that she's not, because he's such a jerk. And just, you know, it's so great to kind of just see the fact that he does have to take care of her, and I love that he has at least a little bit of like a human inside of him, because mm-hmm. he still does. He does everything she says. He complains about it, but he does everything that she says.
Probably because of the acceptance,
like
you say.
It's not like
brushing her hair. It was endearing. Once again, an endearing moment for Frank.
Yeah, an endearing episode.
And he's not going to say no to her.
But then you see him plotting with Fiona. So they team up.
Yes.
And now they're trying to figure out how they're going to get Grammy out of the house. I love that Grammy's making Fiona and Frank kind of get closer.
Yeah, I love Fiona Frank scenes, because it was like the time where she was running across into Sheila's house. And they turned into the same person, but they seem so different. They don't see eye to eye, but then when they're together for that common bond, or something's wrong or whatever.
And then the other episode where she tells him, like, don't feel bad, my parents suck too.
Yeah.
You know, they just keep having these bonding moments off of Grammy.
And we all enjoy seeing that.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, Fiona definitely had a lot going on in this. And I know we'll wrap it around to the Steve thing, but there was even some stuff with her other best friend. Amy Smart's character is
Jasmine.
Yeah,
there was some stuff with that too, and they were on the boat.
Awkward.
That was fun to watch. I mean, the whole everyone
the
went. Kevin went. V went, and Fiona.
And
also.
Then Jasmine revealed that she invited Steve and his wife to come. I thought that was a little inappropriate.
She was the one who did it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I knew when I saw him on the boat, I was like, oh, it's Jasmine, because Jasmine's dirty business. She's not a good ad.
Well, you can tell, because she doesn't have any. She doesn't take any responsibility for her children. Like, there's something wrong with a mother who doesn't want to
children.
Be.
Yep.
She has kids.
Oh, really?
And every single time she says that her husband likes doing that stuff, he's going to feed the kids. He's going to clothe them.
And she's just because she doesn't want to, and because she's being a selfish brat.
So she's having an affair.
I can't imagine how bad those kids are going to turn out. That's going to be Shameless 2.0 next in 10 years.
But I think their dad is a really good dad or whatever, I think. From what we're
learning. Isn't he kicking her out though now? Isn't she kind of on her own?
Her out.
And then his mistress, or his mistress, her, like, you know, whatever, the old dude, David, who has the boat, kicked her out as well.
Because he didn't know she was staying on the boat.
She throws a party. If you are staying somewhere,
low key,
incognito.
And you don't want anyone to know, you don't throw a party like that.
Right.
No.
Right.
You might have a few friends over, but you don't, like, do the business.
You sound like you know what you're doing over there.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
But it did look like a fun party, though.
No, it did. But how uncomfortable. She should have asked Fiona first, do you feel okay with me inviting Steve? Like, what if Fiona was very uncomfortable and she didn't want to address the issue then? Yeah. So I think that was a little bit inappropriate. And I knew that there was this weird, awkward, undying, burning love that she secretly had for Fiona.
Yes.
Oh, you knew that.
Yes.
I kind of felt that. I felt ever like there was some love going on with
ever them. Since the beginning when that character came in. I think she was in there last season as well.
Yeah, that's how they met up, is at the school. That's how you knew that she
school,
was married
yes.
and had the kids.
Right.
Yes. Ever since then, I'm like, there's a lesbianic quality going on here.
Yeah, you felt that
I would have said that about V more so.
No.
Oh, really? Oh, no.
V loves Kevin.
Just seems like she has free love to give.
Oh, she's got free love, but I don't think she has, like, Fiona love.
No.
She loves Fiona like a sister.
No,
I don't think that
she's not as affectionate. V's a little bit more guarded. Like, you know, you saw how she was acting kind of towards Ethel. I don't think that she's as, like, lovey-dovey butterflies.
Right.
Where Amy Smart, Jasmine's character, is more like she kisses Fiona. You know, mm-hmm. she's like all over her. She comes over to the house uninvited, unannounced. Yeah. And so I felt like she was a little bit more pushy and then had the audacity to say, I've done everything for you.
Right.
Who do you think
you are? Talking about at the end, yeah.
To Fiona. Yeah, Fiona runs that entire household.
Yeah, no. No, that was not okay.
And so, like, I knew that there was going to be some tension there. I didn't realize that it was going to be that big explosion, though. Like, she starts going a little cuckoo.
Well, and it's like we've been saying about every character here. They try to be nice or try to be cordial or whatever. And the moment someone throws something their way, they like attack the person. And that's like, Fiona didn't deserve to get attacked like that. And she certainly did by Jasmine, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
It wasn't fun. What about on the boat? You saw the mankini and Steve was rocking the mankini.
I think you called it a mankini, didn't you?
No, she called it a mankini.
I thought you called it a mankini. Yeah. Oh, I'd never heard that. I was like, I remember somebody saying mankini. I was like, mankini?
Steve had been in Brazil for a long time, and he said that's how he's rocking it. So
that is too funny.
Yeah, and it definitely was thongish.
It was.
Because when he jumped in, you saw the back of it.
Yes.
I must have been looking down at my notes for that. Dang it, we got to rewind that part.
No, it was ass all over the screen. Yeah. Yes.
Man, yeah. I mean, saw the old man's ass today.
aren't you lucky?
You're taking notes of the awkward times. Yeah.
Darn it.
Well, this show, how much ass can you see? I mean, there's quite a bit.
Was
Fiona naked today, too?
I know.
No. Oh, that was the girlfriend. That was Steve's girlfriend.
I thought this was going to be an opportunity to see Fiona in her bikini. Like, I thought it was going to be.
She was in her bikini.
But, I mean, we didn't really get to see that much. It was
definitely like a conservative bikini.
Yeah.
If you can even call a bikini conservative, but it was a more conservative version.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you didn't see, like, them. But you did. Oh, Steve's wife. Yeah, you saw her little silhouette.
I almost thought that was her for a second. But, yeah, that was.
So did I.
Yeah.
I was like, yay. Because I really want them to make out
all. And that's
the
how
time.
They roll out the scenes. They roll out the scenes where you're like, well, who is. That's got to be Fiona. Wait, no, it's not.
But when they have the heart-to-heart at the top of the yacht together, Steve and Fiona, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. he says, just say the word, I'll leave her. I don't understand why Fiona got offended by that.
Yes.
I understand that
if you'll do it to her, you'll do it to me kind of thing.
But he already admitted, I don't love this girl. She's nothing to me. I only married her for, you know, business reasons.
Right.
So, and to live from, you know, so the drug dealer doesn't kill me. So why would she get so offended by that? Like, she knows he doesn't love her.
I know. I didn't really understand that moment either. I was like, what? Wait, why? What? Hello?
Those are the words you've been waiting to hear.
Yeah.
I know, but it is like what you said. She knows that he's not to be trusted, and that's maybe her biggest gripe. Like,
I think that is.
Maybe she's just she's already been through enough with him, and then that's like her final.
Maybe it's, you're going to do to her what you did to me.
It's what you said. Yes.
In the sense of the lying part. Like, before I was saying in the leaving part, but now I'm saying like in the lying part. He lived a whole entire lie with her. So maybe she's saying, oh, now you're going to live in a whole entire lie with this girl, and it's never going to stop. It's like going to be a reoccurring.
Yeah.
Right.
Cycle.
She's seen enough of what she doesn't like about him, and it has to do with a lot of lying, and she can't take it. She can't accept it. I don't think the name thing is that big of a deal. I'll go on that. Is the name thing that big of a deal? Like,
well, if
I
you found
know.
Out I wasn't really spicy Mahdi, would you be offended?
No, I'd love you all. I'd love you all the same. Virginia or whatever your real name is.
Let's say Sally. You know, you two were together for years, like they were like a year or whatever, and getting very serious, you know, all of these things. All of a sudden, you know him as Steve, and then... Boom.
Yeah, lying is bad either way.
Right.
And then he actually comes from the right side of the tracks, not the wrong side of the tracks.
You'd be like,
he's portraying himself. I would be like,
very good.
Yeah.
Lying is bad altogether. Understood.
I mean, I think that, you know, because she opened herself up so much to him.
Yes.
The fact that he didn't let her know about this little piece of information, she's really just like, I let my guard down for you.
Yes, and she did.
And now I have to put my guard back up. Yes. Right, and I have to be tough with you now.
Vulnerability.
Yep.
That is the word of the night.
There you go, because V was vulnerable today, too.
Yes.
We don't normally see that.
Yes.
That's fun to watch. I like that.
She usually plays the hardcore. Yeah. I am woman, hear me roar. I'm strong. Mm-hmm. And this episode, she admitted, I think, that I pushed Ethel away and admitted that she did love Ethel.
I don't think she pushed Ethel away, though.
No, I think she was just trying to take some responsibility for it. And she it was like kind of her moment to admit to Kevin that she sympathizes with him, too. I don't think Ethel's coming back.
I don't know.
I
said last week that we're gonna see something else.
Whenever somebody leaves, I'm like, Cash is coming back. Ethel's coming back.
Right. But right. Cash. That's right.
We'll do predictions in a little bit. Let's wrap up real quick before we do a commercial, though. So there is the "I love you" comment at the end, or there's the big moment at the end of the show between Fiona and Steve.
Yes.
Somebody wants to
make me horny.
Whoa.
Wow.
Is that what happened?
I missed that one.
That was the end of the
show. We must have all been writing at that moment.
Yes, we must
have. So, yes, there was that comment at the end.
He said that I love you to her.
Well, he also said, too, he asked her, why didn't you come to the airport? Why didn't you come? And she's like, well, I was on my way. But the fact is, she still didn't show up, and he waited for her, and she broke his heart, too.
Right. That's and that's a form of rejection.
Yeah, exactly.
And when you do that, like, the man will act out, you know? And that's probably why he went on this whole Brazilian rampage.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, you know, it's that last moment where in last season where there was the am I going to go on the plane or am I not going to go on the plane moment. It was really heart-wrenching.
I teared up. I have to be honest with you on that last moment
I think I did too.
In the subway, in the train leaves, and she's still standing there. Oh, I'm kind of getting a little
It was a deep moment. It's like, do you go with love or do you take care of your responsibilities?
Yeah.
It was a really rough.
And she has to take care of her responsibilities in this situation.
Yeah, she signed on for another season.
Okay, real quick, we'll jump to a commercial. We'll do some predictions, and I guess we're pretty much wrapped up after that. So here is a commercial from AfterBuzzTV.com.
AfterBuzz TV. Hi, I was once like you. A lazy, angry loner whose only joy was watching TV and surfing the net. And, like you, after I'd see one of my favorite TV shows, I'd be so excited and have so many questions that I'd actually have to talk to my douchebag coworkers about it at the water cooler. Then I discovered AfterBuzzTV.com. AfterBuzzTV produces after-show webcasts and podcasts for TV series of all kinds, like post-game wrap-up shows for all your favorite TV shows. AfterBuzzTV hosts are industry insiders who break down episodes of shows, take calls from fans, and interview cast and crew from each series with over 60 different aftershows, from Boardwalk Empire to American Idol to Vampire Diaries to Real Housewives and more. Now, after a night of TV, I can ignore my stupid coworkers, who I hate, and go straight to my desk and watch or listen to all my favorite AfterBuzz TV aftershows and have all the TV fan interaction I need. Thank you, AfterBuzz TV.
AfterBuzz TV. What do you want to buzz about?
Movies is producer.
So should I tell the show?
I really do like this song.
I know, me too.
I do too.
All right, while Spicy and Tom continue talking.
We're talking about news facts over here. We have news.
You should enjoy the song. It's a really good song.
Well, because I didn't see this episode and I want to partake so badly, I will say this of the moment you guys were speaking about with Steve and Fiona. It was almost kind of like Casablanca. You take whatever end you want, whether it's the flashback of Casablanca or the ending of Casablanca. Spoiler alert! You know, it's like, you know, do you go or do you not go? And then
it's so tough.
It is. So there you go. Homage to Casablanca through Shameless. That's smart writing.
You would never thought that though, but
that is smart writing.
The modern day version.
I guess we could just jump into the news. I could listen to that song for quite some time.
Yeah, it's just two little newsy facts.
TV news.
Oh.
Yes. Okay, so today on AfterBuzz News, John Wells, who is a showrunner who also has executive producer credits for Shameless, will be directing a new film with Meryl Streep and Julia Roberts. Woohoo! And also in news, we have Zach McGowan. He has been signed on for the third season of Shameless. So for those of you guys who don't know Zach McGowan, he is Jody Silverman, Karen's lover.
They've already started
for the taping of that. So yay, third season. Whoop. Everybody has to tune in to AfterBuzz third season, Shameless.
Yes.
That's good. Yes.
Those are my newsy facts.
So for sure we're getting a third season.
And then I did a little character profile breakdown today.
Did you search it on Bing?
Well, yes, I did. I searched it on Bing.
Well, real quick, I do want to say this before. Speaking of John Wells, for those of you who don't know him, very successful guy. I mean, he's got another show, Southland, that he's a producer on, which is on TNT, and this, and then obviously with the movie coming out. So he's quite the busy guy.
Yes, he is. He was also the creator of ER, if anyone doesn't know.
Yeah, that's
that.
Right, he was.
Yeah, he's been around for a long time.
He does fabulous shows. Honestly.
And I think he's also the president of the WGA, or he has like one of the higher up positions in the WGA, if I'm not mistaken.
For those who don't know what the WGA is.
The Writers Guild of America.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Just for you viewers at home.
Yes.
And our iTuners.
Yes, and our iTuners. So Steve, who has come back, also known as Jimmy, I did a little background on him because because we keep seeing him, you know, coming back in Fiona's life. He's driving her a little crazy. So his breakout role in other things that we've seen him in was he played Tom Cruise's son in War of the Worlds. Do any of you guys remember that?
Oh, yeah.
He was born in 1982. How about he's the same age as some of the other hosts on the show? I'm not going to say who. And because they don't want to give their age away.
Oh, my gosh. That's great.
But we've also
seen you're saying he's a child actor. He started as a child actor.
Well, no, he's young. Like, he's young. Yeah, but he started off when he was younger.
I believe so did Cameron Monaghan as a child actor. He was the kid in the, which doesn't even seem like that long ago, in Adam Sandler's movie Click, I want to say, or one of those movies, one of those goofy movies. He was the goofy, redheaded, chubby kid.
Oh, I remember that kid.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't even seem like he could morph to what he's turned into. But
and Justin has definitely morphed. He is, like, thawing now. But if you remember him when he was younger, he was, like, a little...
Did you like him in the Mankini? Were you into that?
I'm not into Mankinis, but if I was European, I definitely would be.
Oh, okay.
That would be hot to me. That would definitely be hot.
I was European,
right? But he's had other appearances on shows like Weeds and Smallville. Mm-hmm. So we've seen him on some other projects, but his breakout role was on War of the Worlds. So
that's some good news.
Now Shameless.
I love.
Are you guys
about
fans
actors?
Of Dragon Ball Z? Because it was in the movie version of that.
He was in that as well. I've never heard of that, but he was in that. I have that on my notes.
Wait, what do you mean you've never heard of Dragon Ball Z?
No.
You've never heard of it.
No, so I didn't mention it because I was like, well, if I haven't heard of it, the world hasn't.
Oh.
Exactly. The world according to Spicy.
Right. I'm just playing. But yeah, that's my info on Justin Chatwin.
And all the Shameless news. Prediction time? Unless you had a comment, Dorinda.
Oh, no. I was going to bring up Cameron.
Yes, go.
I was just watching Law & Order SVU, a recent episode.
He was on it.
And he was amazing.
He's a good actor.
Oh, he was so good. He broke my heart, too.
Well, you know who interviewed him?
You?
No.
Not me.
Phil
and I, we did that. I think it was the last episode of last season or the second
number
to last.
Number 11. It was 11.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice. We have to go back and
well,
look at it.
And I still have the footage, and I'm editing your guys' interview so we could do like a best of that interview. Obviously, you can't play the whole hour show, but
he was very, very gracious. He's a really incredible actor. He's a very nice, bright young man.
You got your Barbara Walters on. You were really good with your questions, I must say.
Nice.
This guy over here.
It was fun.
I will say this. What do you mean they can't listen to it? Just go. For those of you listening right now, go to episode 11.
Yes, episode 11.
Listen to the whole show, and you can listen to
him. Yes, and you can see what he has to say.
And while you're at it, tell your friends, because we always encourage everybody to tell your friends about AfterBuzz. Now let's do predictions for Shameless.
Predictions.
AfterBuzz predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
It's Dorinda's official dance for Shameless.
Yes.
What do we think is going to happen, or what storylines do we even care about? I definitely interested in Kevin. I'm so interested to see if Kevin will get with V, if they're able, like, there's got to be a roadblock with this baby thing. Because I feel like they're both in tune with the idea. He is a standout guy. He's really, really cool. And she was, like you said, a little shielded, but now she's kind of opening up. And I think they're going to want to have the baby, but there's got to be some roadblock.
I hope it's that she can't have a baby. I don't want to see
I know,
that.
It sounds terrible for you to say, but I get what you're saying.
And that's almost too obvious for that to be the obstacle. I hope it's something else.
Something.
Right.
I hope he's sterile.
Okay.
That would be a little bit better.
Oh my god, it'd be kind of funny too.
But then they have to adopt again.
Of the what?
And then we'll see Ethel come back.
Ooh. Or maybe Ethel just shows back up.
Yeah.
That's part of it too.
No, but they could still have a child, but I really want Ethel to come back.
How adorable would that be if she did though, and they have a baby on the way, and then like Ethel feels like she's not wanted anymore. It would be something like cute like that. But I love that he was wearing Ethel's shirt on his face on the shirt.
In the bar.
So cute.
We didn't even talk about the bar stuff. Was there anything that was like super substantial in the bar? Because he like
him wearing that shirt.
That
he
was
wears
it.
That to work.
Yeah,
it was like
a bar.
Wanted ad, like a little poster ad on his shirt. That was so cute. That's like a milk carton.
Yeah.
It's great.
What do you think's coming up? Are you tearing up?
She was emotional.
No.
Dorinda.
What if Ethel came back pregnant?
Again?
With
Malika.
Yes,
Malika.
Like, did I say Malika?
She's with the woman now?
They made the baby Malika. No, that would be so. Whoa. That would be really cute. And
that'd
then Kevin
great.
And V are pregnant too. Mm-hmm. That would be
joint
a good
babies.
Scene.
Joint
that would
babies.
Definitely be awesome. And speaking of babies, I think that there's a possibility that this is not Lip's baby after all. I think that's going to be revealed.
Even if it's not a possibility, we're going to go through every bit of that to find out if it's going to happen.
Oh my god, if it's Frank's baby, that'll be so
Oh my
disgusting.
God.
Oh.
What if it's Frank's baby?
Oh god.
I forgot about that.
There was a bit at the end, and I'm sure everyone saw, of her saying that she wants to put the baby up for adoption, and I really hope that's the way it goes, because I want Phil to go to college. He's way too intelligent. I don't want him to fall.
Philip. Oh, right. Because he did tell Fiona, he's like, oh, I'm not getting up. Oh, so this was the first, in this episode, we got to see them go to school finally, right? The summer is over now.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's
just
not,
about.
He's choosing not to go to school?
Because he has to get a job.
Because he wants to get a job to take care of the baby.
Oh, and that's when one of you said, oh, and it's probably not even his baby.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And that would be completely awful if it was Frank's baby. But awful. I can see that happening.
Yes.
But was it true when she told the officers that he was never erect when she was raping him?
I don't remember.
Did she really have sex with him? Was there like official intercourse that went on?
Well, what we saw, you thought that that's what was happening.
Right. We only saw the video.
That she was right.
So I think that's a possibility that it could be Frank's, but I'm hoping that it really
is. But even within this show, these are ideas that you're like, oh, it's probably going to go that route. I'm ready
they
for new. Yeah, I'm ready for
loop.
Something completely new to step in there. Like, again, like, the grandma thing is fun, but I'm like ready for that to be over too. Just like when we had talked about Dottie was so interesting, to the show with the, him trying to get the heart transplant or for her, and then it was gone. Two episodes and gone. I'm ready for the grandma to be.
Almost like they left us like, ugh, just when we thought that they were going to kick her off, now she has cancer and you have to keep her.
Oh, yeah, right.
They hit us with that at the
How could
end.
I kick her
they
off
can't,
now?
Yeah,
I know.
They can't
sorry.
Even kick, like, her kick her out the house now.
No, you
so.
Can't kick
but she's
her
still going to be mean, though. That's what's really rough about
it. Definitely. But I'm hoping that something happens where she meets a man. Maybe she hooks up with Stan. I don't know.
You want everyone to just get
you just want to see Stan's butt even more.
Yeah.
I'm just
Spicy's
hoping.
Got a crush on
I'm
an
being
old
wishful,
man.
Wishful thinking.
Yeah. Okay. Shameless on AfterBuzz, recapping episode 7. So many different directions this went to, but if you want to continue the conversation, of course, go on AfterBuzzTV.com or follow the Twitter handle, which is AfterBuzzTV, or just go to talk to Tom and Marty. What are your Twitter handles if you guys have them?
TDT.
TDT?
Mm-hmm.
That's it?
TEDETE.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he has to spell it out so people can get to that.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I was like, this is the shortest Twitter handle I've ever heard.
I wish.
And mine is Spicy, SPICY _ Madi, MARI.
Oh.
Spicy _ Madi.
And don't you have some films, Dorinda?
Yes, I do. It is, my Twitter is at Lula Cherry Films.
Okay, good. And if we want to continue the conversation, I'm at Ronnie Jr. Media. So cool. Talk to us. Thank you, guys. Shameless. It was a lot of fun.
Yes, it was. Thank
it
you.
Cool. Was. Thanks. And thanks to Phil back
Thank
there.
Thank you, Phil.
Thanks. Great input as well.
As always.
No problem.
Catch up on the episodes, Phil.
He works very, very hard, so he will at some point. After Buzz, you just watched Shameless, the after show. Continue to watch all the shows right here. And don't wing it, just bing it. All right, boom, we're out of here. Later.
Bye.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.